Very glad to be here, and I'm going to sort of take this off on a different slant, because I work day-to-day with mothers and with clinicians who are saying, okay, you fix this. And then I have lactation consultants calling me and saying, what do we do with this? And so my take on it is a little bit different, I think, in some ways. This is one of our moms in our in-home breastfeeding support program. I'm sorry, the light's not real good on that picture. But there was a vision among breastfeeding advocates, and I'm referring mostly here to lactation consultants and breastfeeding support groups, that the standards would make breastfeeding babies always look normal. And I heard that over and over and over through the years. The next thing was that it would diminish the reliance on human milk substitutes or formula. And the last was that it would magically create strong support for breastfeeding from physicians and other clinicians. None of these things have happened. And it has caused great disappointment to many people. The reality is that the standards are not there to fix breastfeeding problems. And there are two jobs. Breastfeeding is still a mysterious black box to many. I can remember when my son was born, my mother would call me every day from Chicago. I was living in California, and she'd say, are you still breastfeeding? Oh, good. Like there was some great mystery, you know, in my 25-year-old mind, I was bebopping along saying, what else would I do? But to her, it was just this great mystery. And I found that very much to the physicians who were caring for my son. It was a great mystery. The distinction between the currently used growth charts and the standards are subtle in many ways. And I think that this is something that is difficult when people are not well schooled to understand what they're dealing with on one side or the other. And there are no easy answers when growth falters. I have a slide that I frequently use that says the first rule of breastfeeding is feed the baby. The second rule is read rule number one. And I think that this is a really important thing for us to remember at all times. Now, what we feed the baby, how we feed the baby, those are different things, but feed the baby is very important. And this is one more useful tool to detect when an intervention is needed or when reassurance is needed. And that's how I look at it. I look at it as one more tool in my box. But I do have some concerns about the way people are going to use it. The value of early detection of growth faltering from the lactation consultant viewpoint, is if the baby's not removing sufficient milk, there's strong biofeedback to decrease milk production. The sooner we know that, the better. If there's not sufficient stimulation to trigger milk production, the sooner we know that, the better. Early intervention can save or improve a milk supply and can keep that baby continuing to receive his mother's milk. So I think that early intervention, early detection of growth faltering is really something that we as lactation consultants are going to find valuable. This is a case, I must say, these next few slides, I have to thank my dear friend Miriam Labacht for sharing with me. This is from the Fanta Project, and it's a mythical child, Sarah, and her weight gains. And as we look at her, she crosses the second standard deviation below the mean at about 6 months. So she starts to drop off at 6 months. That means that for the first 6 months, everybody's been bebopping along thinking that this baby's getting enough to eat, this mother's making enough milk, and this baby's taking it in. And then when you look at her on the weight for age growth curve from WHO, it's going to drop, and at 3 months, you're going to pick up that this child isn't getting enough to eat. You are much more likely to be able to recover a milk supply and improve that baby's ability to feed well if you catch her at 3 months than at 6 months. That's what I like. I like being able to use lots of tools so that I have a better picture of what this child is actually doing. So I think that that can be very valuable. I would really like it if it were way back at 2 weeks because we know that most milk production is well established by 2 weeks and that the prolactin receptors are well established in the breast by 2 weeks, and it's more difficult to adjust milk production after that. But 3 months is better than 6 months. And so, as you can see, using the NCHS Z-score, this baby actually looked pretty good at a month, but on the WHO standard, she already was not looking very good. It would have been much easier to intervene at that point and much more likely to be able to improve her intake and her mother's milk production at that point. And as I say that, I want to cautionarily say sometimes the mother's making lots of milk and the baby's not taking it. Anybody can sit in a bar. You can be the designated driver unless you lift the glass. So you always have to remember that we can't blame milk supply, we can't blame babies, we need to look at how the mother and the baby fit together and how things work. am I ready to stop there? Oh, okay. Concerns that breastfeeding advocates have. She had her stop sign set up there.
Sorry.
Thank you. Concerns that breastfeeding advocates have are we properly trained to respond to the information and protect breastfeeding? And this is something that I think is really important out at the clinic level. You know, I'm working in a lot of rural clinics. I'm seeing patients who get referred into UNC hospitals from rural clinics. Possibly the clinicians are not people who do a lot of continuing education. I think we need to really keep that in mind as we're looking at how we train people. How will the typical healthcare provider respond to information from the curve with a higher standard? Will early notification of growth lagging mean, oh, well, you need to start adding formula now? Or will that early notification mean we need to figure out what's going on with this baby? And if we're figuring out what goes on with this baby, we can probably improve the milk transfer, improve the mother's milk production, whichever is necessary, and get that baby gaining weight. Will people begin to fear obesity when the exclusively breastfed baby gets real chunky? I really worry when I see these little sumo wrestler babies that, in my experience, slim down to be just great two-year-olds, that those mothers, and with our obsession about obesity in this country right now, many of those mothers are underfeeding their babies. And I think that that is a real concern. And what difference will this new standard make clinically for the breastfed baby as far as introduction of solids, suggestions that, well, now that he's reached 6 months and he's one standard deviation below the mean, well, maybe we should add a few sips of formula. Or one of the things that I struggle with frequently is when a baby is brought into the hospital with, quote, failure to thrive, the push is, you come and get this mother to stop breastfeeding so that we can get calories in the baby. Well, have you ever tried to find any infant food that is as dense in calories as human milk? It's difficult. None of the pears, the cereals, the peaches, even most of the meats are not 20 calories to the ounce. So we have to be sure what we're doing with this. And I'm really glad to hear that there's already training that has been developed, because I think that that's going to be really critical. Now, I'm going to show you three typical problem cases, and I want to thank, I should have added Miriam's name to this slide, because Ann Skinner is a lactation consultant in a private practice in Raleigh who gave her the cases. Miriam actually did the plotting. And I can see that all of my questions didn't come up here. How did that happen? Yes. Ah. This baby's weight for age faltered at a month. You can see way down there at the bottom. But it was not at an alert state. And on the NCH, he just looked like he was kind of bebopping along between the 10th and the 15th percentile. Now, this particular practice in seeing that he was not gaining weight well had put him on treatment for reflux at 5 weeks. At 8 weeks, his weight and length and BMI alerted as overweight. Now, was that a result of the treatment? Was that something that was going to happen anyway? Was it just that this kid was going to fit in that curve once he felt good enough to eat more? We don't really know, but I think that this is something that we want to be cognizant of and be prepared to address these unusual situations and not have somebody look at it and say, oh my gosh, now he's eating too much, you need to cut back, because that's the more simplistic type of response that I sometimes see. Now this baby, length for age, held steady, and the clinical intervention did not really impact his length for age. He just kind of moved along there. And these little blips down at the bottom, I must say that measuring baby's length is quite a challenge. So it's saying, I always love it when a mother comes in for a 3-day weight check and she says, oh, my baby's grown 2 inches since he was born. And I think, no, he's stretched out a little bit. This is another case, Northern European family, exclusively breastfed infant, and the WHO chart alerted at 2 months that this baby had weight faltering but was okay at 3 to 5 months, and then alerted again at 6 months. At 4 months, formula was added, and this child did not improve in weight gain. His pattern didn't change with adding the formula. So this is where I'm a little concerned that we may go to a less than ideal feeding because we think it's going to make them better. It's kind of like saying, well, your 2-year-old's a little underweight. Maybe you ought to stop and get him an extra hamburger at Hardee's. Maybe that's not the best choice. The same child, after the formula was added, did not impact his length at all. I should have brought my pointer, but you can see down there around the 6-month area, it did not impact his length at all. This is an Asian baby, exclusively breastfed, has eczema at 2 months. And if you look down at the second dot there, his weight went down just a little bit. But what would happen if you had a baby with eczema and you started adding formula at that point, saying, ooh, his weight's faltering? You see why I'm saying I think we really need a lot of good education to the entire community to make sure that this baby is not given something he doesn't need. Now, his length for age, cross percentiles, what should we do? We don't really know what we would do. Now, this child bounced along way up above the 95th percentile throughout. And that started way back at about the 6th month. And the question is, are we concerned? Should we be concerned? Would we tell the mother to restrict breastfeeding? Would we talk to her about her feeding method, whether every time the baby cries, he's sort of been conditioned to, he needs to nurse if he's uncomfortable? There are a lot of things that could be done. I can look at this slide and think of about 20 things I would really like to do, none of which would tell this mother to restrict feeding that baby. because I don't think that that's really an appropriate thing to do. And yet the process would make me say, this is a mother I'd really want to talk with about feeding and about the psychosocial issues around feeding. Especially since he showed a little bit of length faltering and his length has stayed right at the 95th percentile, so his weight for length is probably not justifying his eating quite as much. I titled this, and both Bert and Larry have already said the same thing I'm going to say here. Using data, not being used by it, is my way of saying it. I think it's only as useful as the input and the interpretation of the output. And the interpretation is where we need a lot of education. We need an educated support system that understands the physiology both of breastfeeding and of lactation. We need to invest in breastfeeding and be tenacious. That means that when I was really disappointed. I saw a baby on Friday that I had hoped to get plotted out because it was sort of a classic case of the mother was sent to me because this baby had been sitting below the 10th percentile since birth. He's now 2 months old. Both parents are petite and they say that they eat continuously. They're runners. They're very lean. They have a difficulty holding weight themselves. And I was very reluctant to say to this mother that I thought this baby needed supplementing, particularly when we did a pre-post feeding weight on a very sensitive scale and found that the child took 3.5 ounces in about 10 minutes at the breast. And she was still able to express milk, so there was more food available to him if he wanted it. So I think that's where I'm hoping there's going to be more research, we're going to understand more. This is not a tool that fixes everything, and the purpose of the standard is not to fix breastfeeding care. It's for us to understand how the baby should grow, and one snapshot does not a movie make. So we need to make a cost-benefit analysis whenever we're suggesting an intervention. The child with eczema would make me triple-double cautious about suggesting supplementing. A baby who's not gaining appropriately at all and is falling way below the 5th percentile for a long period of time, I'm going to be more likely to consider suggesting supplementing. And we have the luxury of a donor milk bank. I might suggest donor milk. Babies were born to be breastfed and mothers were made to breastfeed, so I hope that we can all use this as one more tool in our bag for breastfed babies. And anybody who says you can't breastfeed in Washington, that was taken on the mall out in front of the museums.